Chapter 22, Baltimore, 1941. By the end of 1941, Connor had seen several other children with the same behaviors as Alfred and Donald. John, a 2.5-year-old boy, was brought in to see Dr. Connor. His father was a psychiatrist, and his mother worked in a pathology laboratory. Their child was exhibiting personality traits that concerned them both. He would not respond to verbal commands. Objects handed to him were thrown to the floor. Interestingly, his language skills were actually a strength, though John had the same problem as Donald, reversing pronouns such as I and you. His ability for recall was remarkable, as he could recite numerous poems and nursery rhymes from memory, even from other languages, but would often become violent if his preference for certain patterns was violated. Connor's notes include a reference to a terrible episode the boy had experienced, two right-sided convulsions with conjugate deviation of the eyes to the right. Paul, a 5-year-old boy, would lash out at anyone who upset his preference for sameness, but at 3 years old had already memorized the words to several nursery rhymes and 37 songs. Interestingly, Connor noted the boy had contracted measles, chickenpox, and pertussis without complications. The boy's attention was focused on objects, never people, and also seemed unable to correctly use pronouns, saying, "You want candy," when he actually meant that it was he that wanted it. He would repeat the same phrases over and over, pieces of sentences his parents could occasionally associate with a particular event that happened months earlier. Elaine, a 7-year-old girl, was developing speech normally until her first birthday, then made no additional progress for 4 years. At this point, her language skills exploded. Although she had also had trouble with pronouns, she could suddenly speak in complete sentences, and it was apparent she knew the names of nearly all the classifications of animals, emoting phrases such as, "Fish have sharp teeth and bite little children," or "Dinosaurs don't cry." Like the other children Connor had seen, Elaine didn't naturally make eye contact or desire any sort of interaction with her parents or anyone else. These were but a few of the children Connor would see. A handful of parents from around the country had been able to make contact with the Johns Hopkins Clinic and arrange travel for a chance to meet with him. But undoubtedly, many other children, whose parents could not afford such efforts, were being seen locally by equally flummoxed doctors and psychiatrists, the children's unique behaviors infrequent enough to form a detectable motif. In Austria, Dr. Asperger had locked onto the pattern. A 7-year-old boy was a, quote, "very difficult toddler, paying heed to neither his indulgent mother nor his strict father." The parents' two contrasting personality types described to indicate the severity of his stubbornness. He was exceptionally clumsy, and although had struggled early on with speech difficulties, now, at age 7, spoke like an adult. Another boy, whose 3 older siblings exhibited no problems, spoke with a command of language far beyond what his age would indicate. He was extremely overweight, despite being on a medically supervised diet, and had difficulties interacting with his classmates, a problem due in part to his affected way of speaking. Mentions of other conditions began to make appearances in papers. Children with word blindness or dyslexia were becoming more prevalent. Dyslexia was not a new concept, as clinics which specialized in the disorder existed in various towns across the country, facilities more aptly described as vision testing centers. What was new was children exhibiting the learning behaviors associated with dyslexia, but with no discernible vision problems. A new population of kids had emerged that would describe letters dancing around the chalkboard, flipping from left to right, as they struggled to learn in summer classes designed to remediate them. They could undergo rigorous optometric tests, but appeared to have perfect vision, a phenomenon that confused anyone who attempted their care. Another problem began to be mentioned more commonly: hyperkinetic children. Connor had hosted a radio program called "Johnny Can't Sit Still," a phrase being used more frequently in newspaper articles that tried to explain aggravated teachers and their unsuccessful attempts to deal with children who, among other more serious problems, couldn't remain stationary. With the fog of war upon them, it would have been near impossible for parents and physicians to notice that a group of children had begun to exhibit a new set of behaviors. But from their psychiatry clinics in Austria and Baltimore, it was impossible for the two child psychiatrists to miss. Connor had, as he described to Mary Triplett in a letter, quote, come to recognize, for the first time, a condition which has not hitherto been described by psychiatric or any other literature, end quote. Unfortunately, their numbers would continue to increase, with many children receiving multiple doses of diphtheria and tetanus shots. A third childhood vaccine was poised to make its entrance, and like the other two, scientists would make sure it contained enough aluminum to work.